Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Praise the Lord. It's truly an honor to be here. My goodness. What an atmosphere and what depth of wisdom. I came in while mommy was rounding up. I think I need to hear that message again and again. Glory to God. I'm sincerely blessed. And in that spirit of honor, can we please celebrate our mother, the lead apostle over this move of the Spirit, God's servant, Reverend Mrs. Nches Irudu. Can we please celebrate Mama? Shout glory! Hallelujah! Mama, it's a blessing to meet you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your labors. And thank you for demonstrating the character of the Spirit. I'm honored to be here, and I don't take it for granted. Hallelujah. My goodness. There are so many women in one room. Sisters Fellowship International, can you give Jesus a big hand? Come on! Mare Kafarato. Now break into tongues. As we are celebrating, pray in the Holy Ghost. Mambra Katora Hadafai. Ah! Kadosh, Kadosh. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Kadosh, Kadosh. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. He's the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne. He alone is worthy of our praise. It means separated into a class that no one else can come into. You know, when we are talking love, like Mama was sharing a while ago, the greatest love among men is the love of a mother to a child. That's the purest form of love among men. It's an unconditional kind of love that is defined through sacrifice. A mother can give her life for her child. A mother can give her honor for her child. A mother can do anything for her child. But you see, when the love of the mother is compared to the love of God, the Bible calls it wickedness. It says, as wicked as your earthly parents are, will they ask that you will ask your parents for bread and they give you a stone, or for fish and they give you serpent. So the love of a mother compared to the love of God, he said the love of a mother is wickedness. So even when you are talking about the love of God, the love of God is holy, because there's no love like that. That's why the angels, not knowing any name to call God, they just call him holy. Because everything you call God, you are wrong. He is greater than what you call him. Can we celebrate?
He alone is worthy of us.
There's a realm you get to. You are no longer permitted to speak, because your knowledge will fail you. When the glory of God descended and Peter looked at the glory, he saw Moses and Elijah, and he was thinking like a man. He said, let's build three tents. There's a realm you get to, anything you say, you are wrong. And when you get to that realm where you are no longer permitted to talk, then you start chanting. You chant. You chant. A spirit to spirit. Life to life. So when we shift higher, we don't talk, we chant. Ah!
Oh,
Father, we honor you. We magnify your name. We bless your name. We call you holy indeed. Thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for what you've done in the last 27 years. Thank you for the greater things you will do even in the years to come. We bless you for this move of the Spirit. We thank you for the impact. We thank you for the testimonies. We thank you for the transformations. Even tonight, again, we ask that you add more layers of glory to what is already resident here. Even as we ascribe the same to you in thanksgiving and praise. In Jesus' precious name. You may be seated. God bless you. My goodness. It's always an honor to come to the East. There's so much fire here. So much fire. There's a heavy molecule of prayer and revival brooding in the East. And so every time I come to plunge into that fire, whether among young or old, I'm always excited. And secondly, I love the East because, you know, there's a statistics that was done of 5 most intelligent languages in Africa. And the only language they picked from Nigeria are the Igbos. It's not just about the certificate and the degree. It's about the creative power. And so if the fire of God falls in the East, then there will be societal transformation. Because that creative and entrepreneurship power is resident here. The East don't depend on government to make impact. They create impact from their spirit. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. And I'm persuaded everybody under the sound of my voice will receive an impartation and a dose of glory that will generate the power for impact. Praise the Lord. Please be seated. Thank you so much. I have a short time, a limited time, so I just want to advance a few concepts that will help us maximize the grace of God that is already here. And then tomorrow morning, we will still push it further. The power that is resident with one woman is much. So you can't meet thousands and take it for granted. So everything God has to offer in this season, we will make demand on it. We are looking at a very interesting subject, making a difference. And so this evening, I will be talking to us about 2 dimensions or 2 forces that is necessary for lives or for a life that will make a difference. And then tomorrow, I will talk about the last one. That one is a bit corrosive, so I'll put it separate. The first thing I will talk about tonight is the anointing. The second thing I'll talk about is character and virtue. And the third thing I'll talk about is prayer and priesthood. Because prayer is corrosive, I'll discuss that tomorrow. But if we must make impact or make a difference in our generation, these 3 things must become part of our essence. And so I just want to emphasize a little within the time I have, and then we'll pray and trust God to stretch his hands over us and cause a stirring in our spirits. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Before I begin to touch these forces, it's important for me to define what it means to make a difference. It's very important to do that so we know the direction of our deployment. If we don't know what these powers are meant for, We may receive the impartation or be excited by the teaching, but will not necessarily know how to apply or to deploy it. And so it's important for me to define what making impact really means, even as we begin our journey, or making a difference. Number one, to make a difference simply implies provoking intervention in the lives of others through power or by the mechanism of power. If what you are doing does not create intervention in the lives of people, that is not a difference. You can have 1,000 cars. That's not a difference. You can have 1,000 buildings. That's not a difference. You make a difference to the degree that your life and what you are doing impacts the life of others, bringing intervention sufficient to bring them out of their perils, their sorrows, their confusions, and their troubles in life. In Luke chapter 4 verse 18, Jesus was walking in the land for 30 years. In fact, in John chapter 1 from verse 1, when Jesus was, his credentials were read. That's the loudest credential you will ever read in the human context. He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he said, and can you project the scripture? I want everybody to see it. He said, in the beginning was the Word. And he said, the Word was with God and the Word was God. So the first credential of Jesus that was defined is the fact that he is God. And you know, God is the author and the source of all things. So nobody compares with him in the context of human civilization. He said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he went to the second, and he said, the same was in the beginning with God. That in itself is a very strong force or factor. It means he's older than everything that was created, because the same was in the beginning with God. So you can't know more than him. Everything came after him. But in order to correct an impression, because you may assume that himself was created, he now went further to say he's not just older than everything that was. He said all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So the second thing that was said about him is the fact that he is creator. And then he went further. He said, in him was life. The third thing that was said is that everything living is animated because of his existence. If he is not, nothing will. The reason you are is because he is. If he wasn't, you wouldn't be. So he's the author of life. That means your existence is relevant to the degree that you are connected to him. Because he defines and animates existence. In him was life. And he didn't stop there. He now went to number 4 and he said, that life is the light of men. So what you call wisdom and understanding is what you glean from him. So you can't be wiser than him. Wisdom actually means obeying what he says. Because anything you do outside of his instruction is foolishness. Because he is the light of men. So if he's not in a man's life, that man will walk in darkness. This is a powerful credential of one individual. That he is God, he is creator, he is author of life, and he is the illumination, the light that man walks in. But this same being that has this supreme credential, the Bible said he was on earth for 30 years, but the territory where he lived was in darkness. In Matthew chapter 4, from verse 15, you see almost the same scripture in Luke 4, 14 to 16. It said the land of Zebulun. It said the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that sat in darkness. So he was with them for 30 years. They were in darkness.
It is when this power came upon him that he began to define what making a difference is. So his credential didn't matter. What really mattered was the fact that he began to make a difference. And so the moment the power of God came upon him, in Luke 4:18, he went into the synagogue and he began to give us the meaning of existence. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." If his life does not affect the poor, no matter what he said about him, it's not a difference. He said, "He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted." He said, "To preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." You know, we have a world where people pride themselves in what they have. What you have is nothing except as it makes a difference in another person's life. If what you have does not impact people, it is nothing. If you like, be dressed with diamond, it means nothing. If somebody is hungry and your life cannot impact that person, you and your diamond is a waste. If you like, have money in different accounts and in different currencies in different nations, if it does not affect people, it's a waste. If it does not change people, it's a waste. If you like, be powerful. If that power does not improve humanity, it's a waste. So when we are talking about making a difference, we are not talking about possessing more. We are actually talking about utilizing what we have to begin to change the stories of men. To make a difference is to create intervention in the lives of people so that they can come out of their troubles and from their sorrows. And so if you leave this conference and you are not conscious of the poor neighbor you have, it means this conference was a waste. If you like, lie on the floor and roll from one side to the other. If you leave this conference and the people working with you in your company don't feel the impact, it means it was a waste, even if a drum of oil was poured on you in the course of this conference. Because making a difference is to change the lives of people by creating interventions that take them out of their crisis. Sometimes we are too selfish to think about others. Every time we think about change, it's about us. But the reason God left us on earth is to create change in the lives of others. And so the first concept that defines a life that makes a difference is a life that creates intervention in other people's lives. The second concept that defines what makes making a difference is a life that projects values. Values that provoke transformation. Somebody can be poor and I can bring intervention by giving him food. Although I have provided him food, I have not really helped him. Because he may eat food, but he will still be a sinner. He may eat that food, he may still be a fornicator. He may eat that food and he may still be stealing. And so beyond creating material intervention, a life that makes a difference is a life that projects values. Values that are sufficient in potency to trigger transformation in others. So it goes to mean that when men look at you, they should reorder their lives. If they see the love of God from your life, they should learn to start showing love. If they see purity in your life, they should learn to start living holy. If they see uncompromising stand for truth in your life, they should stop compromising. Because not just because you gave them money or food, but this time around, you are giving them what is more than money and food. You are showing them a character that is superior to what they have. Because a man's value is not in the multitude of the things he possesses. You can change somebody's story from poverty to riches, but that person will still go to hell. You can heal a sick person, but that person will still go to hell. In fact, some persons you help and deliver from trouble will become tyrants oppressing other people. Did you not read the story? A man was forgiven of his debt, And the man went and caught somebody else who was indebted to him and threw him to prison. So he received intervention, but he didn't receive transformation. And so making a difference in addition to intervention also includes transformation. But the only way your life can transform people is when yourself becomes an example of what you say. Because the Bible said in Acts chapter 1 verse 1, of all that Jesus both began to do and to teach. Today, we are teaching what we are not doing. That's why our walls are empty. Don't tell anybody about love if you don't know what love is. Don't tell anybody about purity if you don't know what purity is. Don't tell anybody about mercy if yourself is not showing mercy. A thief cannot come preach to somebody else about holy living. And so it begins with character transformation. And that character is pushed into the lives of others. Because people will become who you are, not just what you say. This is why we have many churches, many pastors preaching messages they don't understand. Because the Bible said, thou shalt know the truth, the truth shall make you free. A man in captivity cannot deliver others. If I'm sitting on the ground, I can't lift anybody up. I will stand to lift people up. And the symbol of standing is the character of God that your life can mirror. And so, making a difference is about building values and character. And then, causing that character to provoke transformation in the lives of others. And so, the next time you return to this conference, you are not just returning to this conference with your hands open to receive. You are going to be writing down the people that are transformed because you breathed oxygen for 360 days. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Oh. Elohim Adonai. Aliyah. Jeeps and call him Odogwu and give him a title. It doesn't mean he's making a difference. What we are talking about here is deeply seated in the heart. And the God who tries the heart will try the hearts of men in order to evaluate them on the strength of the impact they have in the lives of others. Please, let's be seated. We have a journey. We will travel a bit this evening. We will travel. I'm now feeling strong because one of my mentors in the East has entered here. Can we celebrate God's servant, Venerable Ike Ebonu? Be seated. God bless you. Give the Lord a shout. I'm sure you were thoroughly blessed yesterday. Praise the Lord. And so, that people give you titles because they need something from you does not necessarily mean you are making a difference. That you have wealth, money, cars, does not mean you are making a difference. You make a difference to the degree that you engender intervention in the lives of others. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So what he called difference was his ability to change the status of the poor man to a wealthy man. Not just in the natural, but in the spirit. To bring deliverance to them that are captives. To bring hearing to him that is deaf. Sight to him that is blind. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And so what they call the difference is not the power he has. It's the change he is able to provoke in the lives of people. And number two, what causing a difference mean is the value system that you build that engenders transformation. And so when the thief is delivered from prison, the job is not done. The thief must become a righteous man. Because if you deliver the thief from prison, the thief may cause crisis in society. So delivering him from prison is intervention. Advancing value to transform him is the major work. So making a difference begins from intervention and it enters transformation. You need power to provoke intervention. This is why, see, we need balance in our understanding. If you have character and don't have power, you can't engender intervention. Because people are not where they are because they want to. It's a power that kept them there. There's a power called poverty. There's a power called sickness. There's a power called death. And so if you want to bring people out of their condition, be ready to confront power. That's why Jesus was on earth for 30 years. He didn't open any deaf ears. Because power had not come. He said in Luke 4:14, he returned in the power of the Spirit. And in Luke 4:18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I had to receive power to bring intervention. If you don't have power, you can't make a difference. You need power to provoke difference. And beyond power, you also need character to engender transformation. You need spiritual power. You need economic power. You need governmental power if you will create a difference. And then you need the character and the virtues of God if you will create a transformation. It is power plus virtue and character that engenders a difference. And then finally, what it means to provoke a difference is to create structures that brings about sustainability. A man who does not have structures, programs, and systems cannot create change. He cannot make a difference. He may start something that looks good. Time will collapse it. Because it takes a lot of wisdom, strategy, to create programs, structures, and systems. See, when God begins a project, in order to immortalize it, he makes it a system. This is why when Jesus was leaving the earth, he didn't give us Peter and Paul. If he gave us Peter and Paul, when they died, the move of God would have ended. He gave us the office of the apostle, the office of the prophet, the office of the evangelist, the office of the pastor and teacher. So when Paul dies, another apostle can rise. When Peter dies, another apostle can rise. If he gave us men, the program would have ended. But in order to immortalize it, he created a structure. He created offices. He created systems. And so anybody who wants to make a difference must come into wisdom, strategy, in order to formulate programs, structures, and systems. Why power engenders intervention? Why value engenders transformation? Structures provoke preservation. And so you need intervention, you need transformation, and you need preservation in order to make a difference. I prophesy over someone the power, the virtue, and the wisdom to create the three structures that makes a difference. It rests upon you from now. My God, please be seated. Be seated. You don't have power, forget about making a difference. You don't have character, forget about making a difference. And if you like, have power and character. If you have no wisdom to create structures, forget about making a difference. That thing you are doing have no lifespan. You need sustainability. Every global move today prioritizes sustainability programs, sustainability offices, sustainability experts. They think through what is happening. They are not carried away by momentary victory. They are thinking about how to preserve that victory. so that when you come in 20 years, the victory is not just sustained, but is better. Because if it's about momentary glory, it's about momentary victory, the devil can come to crush it. Why do you think Jesus started a church? He needed a structure. He needed a system. Beyond the men, there must be a system. Beyond the men, there must be offices. Beyond the men, there must be programs. Because God is the all-wise God. And so tonight, if our goal is to make a difference in our world, we must find out what is the secret of power. Today, if our goal is to make a difference in our world, we must find out what are the values that men must have in order to be approved, both of God and of man. And if we are thinking about making a difference, we must search, seek, and receive the wisdom that makes for preservation. If these three things are not there, we may hear it, but we will not partake of it. I'm persuaded that nobody hearing me tonight will leave this place without becoming a change agent. And so we'll begin with power. I'll talk about power and values tonight. And then tomorrow, as I talk about prayer, I will crystallize wisdom out of prayer. Because the goal of prayer is not gymnastics. You know, in our world today, people don't understand the goal of prayer. If you pray and sweat, that is good. Because there's a physical exercise aspect of prayer. And it's a physical exercise profits little. But if your prayer does not produce children, it's a waste. Because as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And one of the children of prayer is wisdom. And so as we talk about prayer tomorrow, I will show you how to access the wisdoms that are in the realms of God. People will look at you, they will say, you are a woman. The world does not give so much advantage to women, but the reason you are doing what you are doing, it means you know something. For mama to be doing what she's doing for 27 years, she knows something. 36 years! Come on! My God! You know, when I was coming in this evening, I said, why do we need to bother preaching? Let's just read her autobiography and that's enough. Because she's already a different. You want to celebrate the grace of God? Go ahead and do it. I have to start using note. If not, we will not move this evening. And so in order to make a difference, you need power. Everybody that made a difference in their generation made it possible through power. It's not about gender. Those are mental limitations. Don't think I'm a woman. Don't think it's because I'm young. Don't think it's because I'm old. In the corridor of impact, they don't ask for sex or gender. They don't ask for age. They ask you, by what authority are you coming? When you say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, they will not ask you, how old are you? They will not ask you, what is your gender? They will ask you, by what authority have you come? What you need is power. It's not gender. If you study the book of Judges, chapter 4, you will find a woman that rose up as a judge. Her name is called Deborah. In the days of Deborah, Women are not considered in matters of state because it was a complete men's world. In the days of Deborah, the situation was so bad that people were not using the highway because of oppression and banditry. People were hiding. In the days of Deborah, people were living in fear because they were besieged. Those were the times when weaponry started advancing. And so the Bible spoke of the king whose army was captained by Sisera. And he said he has over 900 chariots of iron. That was the first time they started using irons and chariots to fight. So it would be stupidity for you to want to attack or to stand against those forces. But the Bible said, those were the days when Deborah rose. And he said, Deborah was a judge, Deborah was a prophetess, and Deborah was also an administrator. She was not intimidated. She sat under an oak tree and she was judging Israel. It was from there that she entered the heavens and caught a word and she sent for a man. You would think it's a man's word. This thing is not about gender. He sent for Barak and said, come, has the Lord not empowered you to draw out Sisera that you may take over him? And Barak, who was supposed to be the man, was intimidated. And he said, if you don't go with me, I will not go. He said, for sure, I will go with you. I'm not intimidated. I'm not hiding behind. He said, however, this victory will not come by your hand. It will come by the hand of a woman. It's not about gender. It's about power. What do you carry? If you carry something, your word will hear you. If you carry something, you will create the change that is needed. And this is why in the New Testament, God decided to anoint everybody. It's not some people that are anointed. It's everybody that will be anointed. In Zechariah chapter 10 from verse 1, he said, ask of him rain in the time of the latter rain. And he said, he will cause bright clouds and he will cause abundant rain upon every blade of grass. This was the prayer of Moses. He said, I wish that all of God's children would be prophets. He wanted everyone to have access to the Spirit of God and to walk the power of God. And that prayer was answered in the New Testament. And so when the Holy Ghost came in the upper room, the fire was not on the apostles. The fire was on every head that was present. He said there was cloven tongues as of fire on the heads of everybody that was present. And when Peter was teaching about it in Acts 2:38, he said that anointing is given to everyone that believes. Jesus himself speaking in John 7:38, he said, them that believe, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living waters. And so the question is, which of you here does not believe? If you are a believer in Jesus, it means you are not just anointed with a bottle of oil. You are not just anointed with a cup. You are not just anointed with a well. In the Old Testament, he said, with joy, they shall draw water from the well of salvation. In the New Testament, we don't draw water from well. Out of our bellies, rivers of living water. If it was one river, it would have been enough. A whole village can be satisfied with one river. Imagine if many rivers are flowing out of your belly and you say you are limited. You cannot be limited, not in this life. Everyone seated here is anointed of God. You may be anointed as a believer. You may be anointed to function in an office. But whether you are anointed to function in an office or function as a believer, there's an anointing on your life. In Acts 1:8, it said, not many days from now, thou shalt receive the Holy Ghost and power. It was the same anointing with which Jesus was anointed. Because in Acts 10:38, it said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it said we shall be anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. So it's the same oil that was on Jesus' head that is on your head. And so Jesus speaking in John 14:12, he said the works that I do, greater works
Greater works shall ye do, because now I am going to the Father. So you have the same anointing Jesus has. But in addition to your anointing, Jesus is interceding for you with the Father. So your own is a double barrel. People will walk up to you and say, are you sure it will work? I tell them, even if it was not working, because I'm now a part of it, it will work. Because when we are anointed, we make things happen. Things don't happen to us. We make things happen. They say, are you sure this thing will not fail? Things don't fail with us. The Bible said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he said the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. God was not intimidated. All he needed to do was to stir the spirit. He said the spirit was moving upon the face of the deep. And suddenly, God said, let there be light. So even if it was failing, the failure is not the problem. The problem is either that you don't know you are anointed, or you are not stirring the Holy Ghost, or you are not speaking. If you know you are anointed, and the Holy Ghost is there, and you start talking, the same way a world that was full of chaos was reprogrammed, you can change that situation. So river flow, let it down, oh river flow. In your church once again, let eternity be seen. River flow, let eternal river flow. In your church once again, let eternity. Hear this, somebody tell yourself, I am anointed of God. See, when you read the Bible, don't read it as a story. God is introducing you to yourself. The Bible is God's attempt to introduce you to yourself. Because it's the manual of your creation. You don't know who you are. It's the Bible that will tell you who you are. It says if you believe, there's a river in your spirit. If you will speak it under that unction, anything is possible. Anything is possible. God showed you how it is done. He said, you now go and prove it to the world. So we are in the world as an exhibit. That's why he calls us witnesses. We came into the world to validate what God said. We are the exhibits of God. We are the proof of God in court. Every time they say God is not real, what God said is fake, then you show up as a witness because of the anointing that is upon your life. You say, God said he heals the sick. They say it's a lie. You say, where is the sick person? In the name of Jesus, I banish the spirit of sickness. The person rises up. The argument ends. We end arguments. We alter things by the spirit of God. That's why we are anointed as change agents. You are anointed. Very quickly, I will show you 5 things the anointing will do in your life. And I will also show you 5 things you need to do for the anointing in your life to work. Because it's one thing for the anointing on your life to be able to do things. And it's another thing for you to make that anointing do things. It says God is able to do, Ephesians 3:20, exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think, but according to the power at work on your inside. So I will show you what the anointing will do for you. And I will also show you what you need to do for the anointing you have to work for you. Are we together? 5 things the anointing does. Number one, the anointing creates relevance. Relevance. When you find men who are relevant in their world, it's the nature of anointing on their life that is making them relevant. When the anointing comes on your life, the anointing will move you. See, most times when people see anointed men do things, they say they are ambitious. They say they are trying to do something. They are trying to prove a point. If the anointing is active on your life, you cannot but be moved. They say the hand of God was upon Samson. And he said the spirit of God began to move him between the camp of Daniel. There is something the anointing does. It moves a man into relevance. Because the anointing is sensitive to the plights of men. And so when that anointing comes on your life,
it will convert you to the solution that men are looking for. And so every time men call upon the name of the Lord, the answer God has for them are the men he has anointed. If there are men who are crying of poverty, God will stir somebody who has the anointing for prosperity to start creating structures. When men are sick, God will stir somebody who has the anointing for healing. So that person will suddenly become restless. He wants to pray. He wants to do something. He wants to go out for an outreach. He wants to organize a crusade. He wants to go to an orphanage. He doesn't know what the anointing is responding to the demand. Because the man who is anointed is God's answer to a generation. And because you are solving the problems of men, you cannot but be relevant. I told you about Jesus already. With his robust credentials, for 30 years, the territory didn't recognize him. Until the Spirit came upon him. And as the Spirit came upon him, and he went out, began to heal the blind, heal the deaf, deliver the poor, something happened. The Bible said, his fame went abroad. Facebook don't make men popular. It's the anointing that makes men popular. And popularity is not the goal. Influence is the goal. Because the influence on your life is what will empower you to create change. When we were coming today, before we landed, we were going to Abuja. We were late for the flight. Because they told me around 8 that flight is 10. Since the first flight was cancelled. How do we catch this flight? What do we do? I rushed, put myself together, left what I was doing, and I drove myself to the airport. When we landed, we were supposed to go and queue up to collect boarding pass. They say, wait, we have collected it for you. What happened? There's a woman in the east. It's a program you are going for. So somebody has collected your boarding pass. We would have missed this flight, and I won't be here talking to over 1,002 or 2,000, 3,000 people. So the reason I'm here talking to 3,000 people who we have encounters, who we repent, who we submit to God, is because somebody's influence brought me here. It's not about people know me. It's about the authority you command in different sectors. Do you think the devil will bow because you speak English? No. He will check your weight in the spirit. He said the words I speak is not Aramaic. It is spirit and life. It's power. Spirit responds to. This is why the anointing makes men relevant. This is why the anointing makes men influential. So that when you talk, systems shake. When you throw your weight on a matter, there will be a response. And if men like that don't rise, the churches will be tramped down and nothing will happen. Do you think the move of God is prospering in Africa because men fear God? They are godless men. The Bible said the king did not fear God or man. There are men on earth who don't fear God. But the reason they can't do what they want to do is because there are some influential men who are gatekeepers. And they stand and tell you it cannot happen. When you want to talk to them, you know that when these men talk, 10 million people respond. When these men talk, 30 million people respond. Even you will be careful. So it's not about popularity. It's about influence that advances God's agenda. And so when you find myopic people talk, don't respond to them. When the anointing comes on your life, did you not read about Jesus? Many times, he said they wanted, in fact, the first time Jesus spoke, they wanted to arrest him. Jesus now asked them a question. He said, is John a prophet or not? Because Jesus didn't have influence yet. So Jesus borrowed into the influence of John. If you claim that John is a prophet and you call him fake, it means you are discrediting John. And the Bible said the Pharisees were afraid because they knew the people believed in John. So the reason they left Jesus was because of John, not because Jesus is the Son of God. Because the Bible spoke about John. He said the whole of Jerusalem and Judea went to him. So when John speaks, that is Jerusalem and Judea speaking. If you touch John, you touch Jerusalem and Judea. And when John said, this is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And you say that person is not of God. Then you are saying John is not of God. And so Jesus asked them, is John a prophet or not?
Elohim, Elohim Adonai.
tonight. Hear this. The anointing will come on some of you here today. Hear this. That business, hear this. That business you have been doing, that has one shop in Onitsha, suddenly will become 30 shops in 20 states. Don't be intimidated. It's the anointing at work. It's the anointing. It's the anointing. Suddenly, you speak and governors are quoting you. Don't feel intimidated. Don't allow men scourge you with their tongue. And then you say you are being humble and you are making yourself small. There's no glory in being small. He said the glory of the king is in the multitude of the people. If the anointing is making you influential, it's not about you. It's about God's agenda. And so don't be selfish and self-centered because you want to be right in the eyes of men and reduce the scope of the anointing. The anointing makes men influential because it takes influence to change this world. Why do you think today, even people who have governmental power, they go into fraternity with those with economic power? Why do you think a president, watch this current election, it will be overturned in court anyway? Yes. But hear this. Why do you think a man who is president elect is going to visit an influential businessman? He is trying to borrow more influence. Because obviously, where he is now, the influence he has is not enough. Now, that is the human way. We don't use manipulation to create influence. It's the anointing on our life that increases our influence. You know the way he does it? He will put more authority in your words. When you speak, systems vibrate. He will put honor on your name. When men hear of you, suddenly they paralyze. They don't know what they know about you that makes them honor you, but they have no choice but to honor you. He said, rise ye up, take up thy journey, go beyond the river Arnon. I have given unto you Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon. Begin to contend with him and possess his land. Why? Why? He said, I have put my dread upon you. When the nations hear about you, they will quiver. The way the anointing empowers is that it will make men honor you. It will put authority in your words. When you talk, both spirit and men will obey. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. The way the people of the world do it is through manipulation. It's through compromise. So what they are doing is fake. Somebody talks to somebody, he makes it, he snaps a picture so that people will know. No, that's not how it works in the kingdom. If you do it like that in the kingdom, God will humble you. Because that's pride. You want to create impression. He said, God humbles the proud. He giveth more grace to the poor, to the humble. So if you do it like that, it's God that will humble you. But when you stay with God and the anointing on your life begins to grow, God will put authority in your words. You will speak. The Bible said when Peter spoke, it said the hearts of men were pricked. They didn't hear Peter in their head. They heard Peter in their hearts. So 3,000 men joined Peter in one day because of the sting that was in his word. The Bible said, God gave honor. God put honor. He said to Moses, lay your hands upon Joshua. I will take of the honor that is upon you and I will put it upon Joshua. And so when a man's anointing begins to grow, his words become powerful. Honor comes upon his life. These two things are the things that makes men relevant. And a man becomes relevant when spirits hear him and obey. When systems hear him and they are altered. These are the two things that brings relevance. If you talk and spirits don't obey, you can't change anything. Because the things you see happening, they are orchestrated from the heavenlies. And so an anointed man, when he speaks, he permeates the heavenlies, changes things there, and you see the impact on earth. I prophesy over you. the anointing for influence will rest upon you now.
Out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living water. Out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living waters. Out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living waters.
Hear this. The anointing is a force. Don't take it for granted. Most times, people see what some of us do as young people, and they say they're ambitious. If it's ambition, do it now. Let's see if you have the same result. Ambition. Ambition can come and tell a woman who has been in ministry for 37 years to invite this small boy to come and speak in her conference. Ambition. A woman who can bet me. A woman that I should kneel before as a son. Her children are older than me. Is it ambition that made her invite me? Is she naive? 37 years in ministry. You don't know there is a force that you can't see. Try it. When the Spirit of God is moving, just know that it's an immortal force. You can't stop it. And the thing is, you don't have to be competitive. You don't have to be insecure. Because every one of us is anointed. Just find your flavor. Find your place. And stay there. Give the Lord a shout. It's called the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be educated. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be young. Just be anointed. It said widows receive their dead back to life. Widows. Even a widow can create a change. It takes power. It takes power. I prophesy over someone. The grace and the anointing that makes for relevance. I release it upon you now. I love the anointing. That's why when a man is rising by the hand of God, do what you think you want to do. The more you fight him, the stronger he will become. The anointing loves pressure. The more you put pressure, the more the anointing becomes brilliant. You think you attack him, he will now go down. The more you attack him, the stronger he becomes. The more you attack him, the stronger. They didn't know that was the secret of David. David fought 66 battles. The more he fought, the stronger he became. The more he fought, the stronger he became. Because the anointing is a force, is a power, is the spirit of Elohim walking through a man. You can't bottle it. You can't bottle it. It is the anointing that defines dispensations. People can be in darkness until the Spirit of God begins to move. When you see the nature of the anointing and it has changed, know that a new dispensation has started. Dispensations are defined by anointings. There was a time in Nigeria where the evangelical movement began. There was a time when the holiness movement began. There was a time when the faith movement began. There was a time when the prosperity movement began. There was a time when the apostolic began. And then you find people carrying mysteries that is older than their grandfathers. And when they talk, you don't know what they read. And you hear them, you can't sleep. What is interested in is to bring Christ out of your spirit. Because this time around is beyond healing. It's beyond physical prosperity. This time around is the ministry of the fullness. That men will be metamorphosed into the nature of the God that dwells on their inside. And so no matter what you do, a dispensation have opened. These are captains of the move of God. You can't stop it. When you fight it, you fight the hand of God. And you want to fight God, go and ask Pharaoh. He said, I will stretch forth my hand and I will strike Egypt with all my signs and my wonders. The whole army of Pharaoh could not stop it. The Red Sea could not stop it. Because even in the wilderness, the anointing is a wonder. He said, their shoe grew with them. He said, there was none feeble among their tribe. If they carried stones, they won battles. When they blew trumpets, wars of nations sank. Because what was happening was an invincible spirit. It was the move of God. The anointing brings relevance. It doesn't matter where you are. I prophesy over you. The anointing for relevance rests upon you now. Some of you hear this. You have managed small businesses. As this conference comes to an end, in 3 months, those businesses will become companies. By the anointing. Some of you, you are supervising satellite parts of the ministry, and it has been in one parlor. Something is about to explode. It's about to explode. Some of you, you are in nations where the government frowns on truth and they want to impede the move of the Spirit. Something is about to happen. You will become a wonder to your world. It will move you and you will move the nation. Please be seated. The anointing brings relevance. Number two, the anointing brings wisdom and direction. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 27, it says you have an unction from the Holy Ghost. And it said you don't need any man to teach you anything. It said that anointing that is in you, he teaches you all things. In Isaiah 30 verse 21, he said even if you are in the wrong way, you will hear a voice behind you telling you that's not the way to go. Turn back. When a man is anointed and he submits to the government of that anointing, he comes into spiritual accuracy. There are many things you know you didn't read. There are many things you know, even though you are experienced, you know it's not experience that gave you. It's the whisper in your heart. Because when the anointing comes upon a man, that anointing secures him through wisdom and divine direction. The third thing the anointing does is that it sanctifies. Sanctification in this context is not necessarily purity, but it sets you apart for God. You become God's property. Exodus 30:30, when Aaron was to be ordained, they say anointing. A man can't be set apart except as by the anointing. So the anointing makes you God's property. And when you become God's property, you are secured. He said in Psalm 105 verse 15, he gave a commandment. He said he rebuked kings for their sake. And he said, touch not my anointed. He said, do my prophets no harm. The reason we are bold and audacious in what we do is because we know we have a covering. He said, touch not my anointed. An anointed man should not be a coward. Don't be intimidated. He said, we have not received the spirit of fear. We have received the spirit of boldness. We are strong. We know all things. Touch not. Did you not read? David was speaking and he said, who can touch the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? It's not possible. Because God's shield is upon him. And this is not for prophets and apostles. It's for every believer. That's why you have to be careful when you gossip a Christian. Because you can kill yourself in church. It's not just about the prophet. It's not just about the teacher. It's about the oil upon the heads of every one of us. God's jealousy is on our lives. Demons know it, but Christians don't. There are many people demons are afraid of touching. It's only Christians that touch them. Did you hear what this person said? Were you there? And who says it's your duty? Is that the message you should preach? He said, we preach Christ and him crucified. If a brother is in error, pray for him. That's your duty. You only talk to that brother if you have the authority to do so. If you don't have, pray for him. You don't know why Christians are diminishing in value and essence. Because they keep touching the anointing. Paul said, for this cause, many are sick. He said, for this cause, many sleep.
not discerning the Lord's body. We may come here like church members, but we are not members. We are citizens of a kingdom. And so there are rights and privileges we have because of that oil that is on our head. When Saul was killed, David was surprised. He said, why did he fall as though he was not anointed? And David said, cursed be the mountains of Gibeah. Why were you standing in the day that the Lord's anointed fell? So David expected that even mountains, inanimate things, will rise up to fight for the anointing. It's not a joke when God anoints a man. You are anointed with God and his life force. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. The anointing secures you. The Bible said at some point they carried Jesus, dragged him to the cliff to throw him down. Jesus was just looking at them and wondering. So these people think they can kill me. Let's see what they want to do. He now followed them. When they came to the edge of the cliff, he said he looked at them. At the edge of the cliff where they should have thrown him down, a mob. He said he just looked at them and walked through them and went. And left them there with their foolishness. You want to kill an anointed man? How will you do it? There's no technology. When God wanted to kill Moses, he had to take him to the mountain to kill him in secret. Because an anointed man is immortal. It's immortal. Somebody, I can't do this. I'm afraid. You afraid? Who taught you fear? Where you came from is an immortal realm. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I fear no evil because the Lord is with me. I don't fear. God is with me. There's something on my life. That's why I'm not intimidated. That's why I'm not afraid. They tell you, go and preach the gospel. You say, I don't know what to say. You don't know the anointing. He said, when you are called to speak, don't premeditate what you will say. He said, open your mouth and we fill it with water. Can't be defeated. Tell yourself, I'm anointed of the Holy Ghost. They don't know the anointing. The way many people struggle to be honored. If you don't call them by their title, they are offended with you for 1 year. If you don't cause them to sit in front, they are angry with you for 2 years. You can't dishonor me, sir. The anointing of God is on my life. Even if I'm sitting on the last row, I know I'm an honorable person. It's not the front row that makes me honorable. No, I'm honorable. There's an anointing on my life. I'm relevant. My generation can't deny my existence. No matter how they try, there's an anointing on me. And I don't have to be a preacher. That oil can make a pure water seller to become significant in society. People fighting themselves for honor. I'm supposed to be the one to sing. You didn't allow me to sing. Somebody else sang. Is it by standing to sing that I will become relevant? No. When I sing, it's because I'm honoring God and I'm blessing people. But whether I sing or not, I'm anointed of the Holy Ghost. There's honor on my life. There's grace on my life. There's glory on my life. I'm not an ordinary person. Hallelujah. There are many people who can't go to the village. Hey, they say if you go there, you will die. Me. Who is that person who can kill me? Who is that? What does he know? How old is he? What is on my life created the world? What is on my life is older than the oldest. What is on my life is the power that formed creation. Who is that person? What is that power that can bring me down? There is no force. It has not been created. And even if it is created, it is the creator that is on me. He said we are joint heirs with Christ. He said whoever
Whoever is in the Lord is joined to the Lord. Is one spirit. Is one spirit. Is one spirit with him. I am one spirit with the Lord. I am a joint heir with Christ. What belongs to Christ belongs to me. How can I ever live in fear? Everybody who was a victim till today, it ends from this beating. And those herbalists, those wicked people, those spirits that won't leave you, they expire today. Number four, the anointing breaks yokes. I'm saying this so you will know that there is a force in you that must make you create a difference. Number one, you are relevant because you create change. You can't do otherwise. You are relevant. Number two, you know what to do because there's a spirit in you guiding you. Number three, you are separated unto God, so you are preserved. And number four, every yoke on your life breaks. Isaiah 10:27, it said the yoke shall be broken. It said the bodies shall be lifted off their shoulders. Why? Because of the anointing. The anointing is a yoke breaker. And that's why nobody will live here with barrenness. It is not possible. That's why nobody will live here with disfavor. If you have not yet gotten married and you have marriageable age, write this date down. Before this year is over, you will be vitally connected for marriage. I'm not saying tomorrow, this night, those pains on the back, on the waist, on the leg, they will all vanish this night. The anointing is a yoke breaker. The tumors in the breast, the tumors in different parts of the body, they will vanish this night. The eyes that cannot see, the ears that cannot hear, they will all hear and see tonight. Toward heaven. Everybody carrying a yoke here. Every form of affliction. In the name of Jesus, I take authority now. I command the yokes to break now. Growths in the body. Growths in the breast, on the neck. Every part of the body. Be it cancer or tumor of whatever size. I command growths vanish now. People with arthritis pains on the back, on the neck, on the waist, on the leg, I take authority over arthritis. I command the pains, go now. Everyone here with an organ infection, kidney, liver, lungs, in the name of Jesus, I release the power of God for healing. Receive that healing now. Receive that healing now. I command deaf ears open. I command blind eyes see. If your bone has a challenge, right now I release the power of God. Receive your healing now. If you couldn't walk, walk now. If you couldn't lift your hands, lift it up. Every bone disorder is healed in the name of Jesus. Some of you, you've suffered infections for many years. It has affected your self-esteem. In the name of Jesus the Lord, every offensive infection that you have suffered until now, I command them to be eroded from your body. He said, the yoke shall be broken. The burden shall be lifted off your shoulders because of the anointing. I command the yokes to break. I command the burdens to be lifted. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and honor him. Thank you, Father. Now, drop your hands. If you have noticed a change in your body, just wave at me. If you have noticed a healing already, you are not hoping, you have noticed a healing. Turn behind you and see what Jesus has done already. Somebody give the Lord a shout! Now, I will round up and then take maybe a few testimonies, but we are still teaching, so please be seated. Those of you that waved your hands, when I'm done teaching in another 15 minutes, I'll take a few testimonies. We are not anointed just to fall down, cry, stand up. No. We are anointed to make a difference. We are not anointed to speak intelligently. The anointing will enhance your intelligence, but it's beyond intelligence. It's to create a difference. It's to make a difference. And you will not leave this conference until there is a remarkable difference in your life. Number 5. The anointing empowers men for mighty works. The moment Jesus was anointed, deaf ears started opening. Blind eyes started seeing. The barren started receiving fruitfulness. The dead started coming back to life. The poor received the gospel. Things began to happen. The anointing is not just for a feeling. It's not about the euphoria that you sense fire or you sense oil. What is that? Those things are signs that something is on your life. But the significance is the deployment. Every time an anointed person rises, mighty works follow him. They looked at Jesus in Mark 6:2. They say, what manner of man is this? He said, what kind of wisdom is this that these mighty works are wrought through him? The mighty works came because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. If the Spirit of the Lord were not upon him, there would be no mighty works. When the anointing came upon the life of Paul, even his handkerchief were casting out devils. Mighty works began. They heard Paul and they said, the gods have come among us. And they were not exaggerating. Because the things they saw them do were the things that gods in those days were doing. They entered a dimension that it became just to compare them with gods. It was in the spirit of humility and channeling the glory to God that Paul tore his garment and said, no, we are servants of God. The glory you see on our lives is not about us. It's about him that we represent. Not because there's no glory, but that glory is meant for you to know the one that dwells on our inside. The anointing makes for mighty works. And finally, the anointing confers speed. 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 It brings remarkable speed to the lives of people. There are many things you can do, but when you finish doing them, matter. If you start building a house and you finish it at 90, you will build the house and live in a grave. So it's not just about finishing the house. When? And so there are many things we are doing that have seasons tied to them. If you do what you should do in a season outside of that season, even if it is 10 times better, it will have no impact. And so in order for us to keep pace with the seasons and the timings of God for our life, the anointing comes to engender speed. And in 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 46, it said the hand of God was upon Elijah. And he said, he outran the chariots of Ahab, even unto Jezreel. When that speed comes upon your life, the people that have the human advantage will not be compared to you. The king naturally should have the greatest advantage in society. But when the hand of God comes, you become better than the king. Did you not read about Daniel? He said, Daniel and his friends were 10 times better than every other person that was questions were asked of. Because there was an unction. It's an excellent spirit
was upon Daniel. Our generation is behind. In the witchcraft world now, to bilocate and to travel by the wind is not a wonder. They perfected it in 1840. Today, we are still quoting Philip was carried by the whirlwind. Elijah was carried by the whirlwind. We drive to church with black jeep. We are walking out like kings. In the demonic realm, you come with a car. You are an inferior person. They don't go there with cars. They go there, they fly there. What they perfected in the demonic realm centuries ago, we have not yet entered. See, today we are still priding that we came with a Lexus. If you go to with Lexus to a meeting of demons, you are an apprentice. What are you doing here with this body? You stand up in your room, you chant, and you appear in the meeting. And nobody is surprised that you came. If I appear on this altar, everybody will run. And the next thing we'll say is magic. Because even unconsciously, we believe that demonic power is superior to God's power. We'll say it's magic. It's magic. That's why we probe miracles that we shouldn't probe. These are things that they have perfected in the demonic realm. But here we are. Still arguing in the brain, using intelligence to talk when spirits are advancing. Spirits. There are many civilizations in darkness ahead of us in light. Because we have not explored the possibility of the anointing. It's what Philip did in the early church that we are still quoting in the 21st century church. Somebody believes that he must be 70 years old before he makes impact. Whereas a demon or a witch who is 15 years old can kill a whole family. And that witch is an apprentice. She knows what to do to disappear and stand on the road. And when the car is coming, she will do like this. The car will somersault. And they will give her assignment and say, fill a drum with blood. An apprentice witch of 15. Meanwhile, you are 40 years old. You are still saying, we are waiting on the Lord. There's nothing wrong with process, but process is not mediocrity. Don't mix the two. It's not mediocrity. And it affects us the most in Africa. If a white man is doing something at the age of 22, you say, God is working. When you see an African who is 35 doing something, you say it's ambition. And that's why we are backward, because we have not deployed our true advantage. Go to the Western world today, young boys of 22, 23, own companies. By meritorious service, relevance. Because the society gave them the room to develop. Our professors will leave Nigeria with white beard and go for seminars in Harvard. And the people representing Harvard, some of them are 21 years old. And here is vice chancellors that we go. They will sit down with those boys, have those meetings, shake them like colleagues. But when they come to Africa, you are 30, you have still not started. Your HOD will be wish, wanting you not to grow. That's why you need power. So that whether men like it or not, you will still grow. You need power. If they like, they should gang up, you will still grow. The more they fight, the more you will grow. And they can say whatever they want, you keep making impact. If it is one soul that is saved, it's worth your labor. If it is one smoker that changes, it's worth your labor. If it's one orphan that is giving school fees, it's worth your labor. So don't bother about what they are saying. Face what you are doing. The anointing provokes speed. Speed. As powerful as the anointing is, it will not work until you stir it. All of us here are anointed, but not all of us are making impact. Because the stirring and the understanding of the operation of the anointing is at different levels. If you don't stir the anointing on your life, you will not make a difference. And very quickly, four ways of stirring the anointing. Number one is through consciousness. If you are not conscious that you are anointed, the anointing on your life will be dormant. in 1 Samuel chapter 9, from verse 18 to 20, when Saul and his servant asked Samuel, "We are looking for the seer. Where is he?" Samuel said, "I am the seer." He knew who he was. He doesn't need anybody to come and validate him. He knows, "I am the seer." Jesus walked into the temple in Luke 4:18. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me." He knew that he was anointed. Because if you don't have the consciousness of what you carry, you can't deploy it. In Philemon 1:6, he said that the communication of your faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. Don't only acknowledge what society puts on you. That is a limitation. Society doesn't know you. They will call you names based on their assumptions. But when God is working with you, even if you go to heaven today, that's what they will call you. You have to build the consciousness of the anointing. And that's why you meditate on scripture and hear from God. Because what scripture tells you, it builds a conviction you yourself cannot deny. You know you are anointed. And because you know your life doesn't fluctuate, you can maintain and replicate the results. Because you know it's not by you, it's by what is upon your life. Many are conscious of the curses in their father's house. Many are conscious of the evil that government is doing. Many are conscious of the hardship in society. But they are never conscious that there is something of heaven on their lives. And that's why their life goes in the direction of what society provides. Paul was talking and he said, "My God shall provide your need." He knew these people work. He knew some of them earned salary. He knew some of them had businesses. But he was talking from a superior consciousness. I know your salary can pay you something at the end of the month. I know your business can provide something. But I'm not talking to you at the level of your business and salary. My God shall supply all your need. Because Paul knew that it is God that sustained him. He was a tent maker. But he knew that beyond the works of his hand is the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich. And so when he prayed for the church, he said, "My God shall supply your needs." When Jesus was teaching them how to pray, he said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And when he went down, he said, "Give us this day our daily bread." Jesus knows we need to walk. The Bible encourages that we walk with our hands. But Jesus said, "Give us this day." Beyond the walk, he knew God is the one who blesses. That's what the anointing does. I will read my book, but the excellence I have is God that gave me. I will prepare hard, but beyond the hardship, it is God that will distinguish me. For the horses are prepared for the day of battle, but victory is the Lord. Preparing for the day of battle and victory are two different things. The anointing. You must be conscious. If I ask you now, what is the dimension of the anointing you carry? You will start thinking before you answer me. I know that the spirit of favor is on my life. I know that the spirit of excellence is on my life. I know that speed is on my life. I know that the healing anointing is on my life. So if I go anywhere, the moment I stir myself, I can walk anywhere. I know. Because the effectual manifestation of the anointing is tied to the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you. Nobody is special. It is what is on our lives that makes us special. And everybody sitting here has something of God on him. So every one of us, on the strength of that, is special. You have to be conscious. Don't be conscious of your gender. That is important, but it's at a level. Don't be too conscious of where you came from. I know nobody has made a degree in your family. Be the first. I know nobody has worked in ministry in your family. Be the best. The first. That's what the anointing came to do. But it will take your consciousness that I'm not limited. He said, though you are from this world, he said, you are not of this world. You are of God, little children. You are of God. And it's because you are of God that you have overcome him. Greater is he that is in you will never happen until you know you are of God. If you don't know you are of God, you can never overcome the world. I'm telling you why many are praying, but they are still failing. Because they pray with the wrong consciousness. Jesus knew he was the Son of God. When the devil came to tempt him, if you are the son of God, he was looking at him. Are you the one to come and remind me that I'm the son of God? I don't need to prove a point to you. That's why many people are dying of high blood pressure. They want to prove a point. Say, sing a song, they want to kill themselves. Because they want to hear what everybody thinks and says. Madam, relax. It's not what people say that validates you. There's an anointing on your life. That anointing is your validation. Everybody can reject you. It doesn't mean you are rejected. That's their opinion. Jesus did not fulfill destiny in a palace. Jesus fulfilled destiny on a cross. But the cross is higher than every throne. Don't feed off people's validation and praise. It's their opinion. Whether it's good or wrong, it doesn't matter. Follow what God is telling you to do. Have the consciousness and walk in God's direction for your life. At the end of the day, it will not lie. Some persons, their life is turbulent and without direction because they only flow in the direction of people's approval. It's a woe unto you if all men speak good of you. I don't care if the whole world rises up today, try to discredit me. It doesn't matter. The light shines in the darkness. It is in darkness that the glory of the light is seen. I go to certain places, and then when I'm talking, people don't like it. I say, well, I notice you don't like it, but I will say it. Because I didn't come to say it for you to like it. I was in Manchester 3 days ago, and when I was teaching, I was telling the young people, shame on you. You don't respect your elders. Some of them are looking at me like me. Who is this local African man talking? I said, I'm not talking because I'm from Africa. That is Bible. He said, honor your father and your mother. If you don't, you are a bastard. Shame on you. If you like it. If you like, don't like it. I'm not talking British curriculum. I'm talking heaven. You see somebody? Somebody wake up. Hey, my dad, he hit me, man. And he'll call police for your dad. And your dad will come and apologize to you and start begging you to not say it. And then you are a shame. You are a reproach to society. I can preach it like that. Everybody should leave church. If we are two, he said wherever two or three are gathered. The number of church is two or three. If there are 10,000, good. But even if we are two or three, we would rather keep truth and be two. Be conscious. You are not ordinary. Listen, I understand most of us are going through very difficult circumstances. But it's not sympathy that will bring you out of it. It's the anointing that will bring you out of it. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. If you are the shadow of death, hear this. If you are the shadow of death, don't look for sympathy. Sympathy will keep you there. Better begin to stir the anointing. Because what will carry you from there is inside you. Many people are looking for, sorry. You will feel pacified, but you will remain there. It is the God that is with you that will bring you out. Even if men help you, it's because that God will stir them. No man wants to help anybody. It is the God in us that makes us do what we do. Don't pursue sympathy. Pursue the anointing. Stir the anointing. When the devil throws an arrow at you, tell him, I don't go down. I'm anointed. And if you are saying it and you are shaking, pray in tongues for 1 hour. And say it again. You will say it from a higher energy level.
If you say it after praying in tongues for 1 hour and it doesn't work, add another 1 hour. Say it again. Keep praying and saying it. Praying and saying it. You will come to an energy level where if you say it, it must respond. Did you hear what God did? He said, darkness was upon the face of the earth. God was not in the hurry to talk. He said, the spirit moved upon the face of the deep. The anointing was being stirred. When it came to the energy level of creation, he said, light appeared. Light appeared. He said, let the dry ground. Anything he said was happening. Everything is possible at a certain energy level. And so if there is poverty, if there is fear, if there is reproach, if there is death, check for the energy level. Be stirring the anointing. When you reach the right energy level, you may not even remember to say the anointing will bring the word. That's what you call prophecy. It will come out of your spirit because the answer was always there. But you will only find it at an energy level. Water can be stone at one level. At another level, it will be gas. And that level where water is gas, it can burn you. So you who is sitting gentle like this, at an energy level, you are a warrior. At the right energy level, you are a warrior. You have just not gone there. But it will take the stirring of the anointing. And so the first way to stir the anointing is through consciousness. The second way is in Ephesians 5:18. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. It says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself. Speaking to yourself. It's time for you to go and sit down. You were sick, or things were going wrong. Search the scripture that addressed those matters. Start telling it to yourself. Until you remember it, you memorize it. As you are talking it, a point will come, the scripture will saturate you. The answer will flow out of you. Are you learning? Are you being blessed? Are you being changed? Are you being transformed? Give the Lord a shout! Character is the foundation of power. Jesus walked in power for 3.5 years, but he built character for 30 years. If your character is not deep, your power will destroy you. You know why many genuine prophets and genuine apostles have become fake? They didn't build enough character to handle money and fame. So when money came, they became liars. They became criminals. Because if the foundation of character is not deep, the power cannot grow. If it grows, it will destroy you. So many people, the reason they are where they are is the mercy of God. You are supposed to be famous now, but because God loves your soul, he will keep you in obscurity. Because if you become famous, that fame will destroy you. You have not built enough character to handle power and influence. Lord, give me money. I will change my world. It's a lie. You have not dealt with the lost. You are still looking for money to show your neighbor that one day it go better. Even though you are not saying it, it's inside your heart. And you say, I, the Lord, I test the heart. I try the reins to give to every man as his way should be. Lord, I want to get married to an illustrious man. It's a lie. You want to show those ladies that think you are ugly that your husband will be better than all their husbands. That Range Rover, you saw somebody drove, you told yourself, you have seen yourself driving it. There's nothing wrong in thinking of good, but if you need good in order to prove a point to another, it means there's character deficiency. And so when character is not built, power will not work, no matter what you do. And so tomorrow, we will begin from character and virtue. Ebenezer, ay, 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 ay.
grace tonight. And that anointing is the anointing that makes men relevant. That was my pinnacle tonight. And that's what I know God wants to give. I want to release that grace. Something will come on someone in a moment from now that will shift and change your life forever. Before I release that unction, how many of you, again, you have noticed a change? You have received the healing. Can you wave at me? Those of you who waved your hand. Mama, can I have them here for 2 minutes? Just 2 minutes. I want to take 3 testimonies because what I said is not a lecture. And so things happen. Now, those of you who can come out in 1 minute, please come. If you know you can reach here in 1 minute, please come. Alleluia. 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 You can come, you can come quickly. Those who wave hands, quick, come quickly, come quickly. I saw hands even on the gallery. Hallelujah.
October, I noticed that when I feel pressed, before I will notice that I'm pressed, it has started happening by itself. I will always be conscious of it. When I feel a little pressed, I will run to the door. I will run to toilet to ease myself. But today, as he came in, he was preaching. I am feeling pressed. The ushers will bear me witness. I've gone to the door. The doors are locked. I came back. My bladder is very, very full. I am pressed, yeah. But no
but
urine is
the coming. Urine has not come down.
I went to hospital.
Since October last year, whenever she is pressed, whether she likes it or not, the urine starts coming down. But now she is so pressed, yet it's not coming down. Can you start celebrating this Jesus?
It has not finished, sir.
It has not finished.
Hallelujah. My 3 hands, I cannot feel life in them. I feel numb.
Your 3 hands were numb?
Yeah, my 3 fingers were numbed. If I close it this way, when I'm opening it, one may open now. It will take some minutes for others to come.
What happened now?
I went to hospital. They said I have pressure at the corner of my heart. They packed drugs and drugs and drugs, X-ray and every other thing. I came to convention, I carry my results, my history, and drop it in
man
the
hospital.
And I speak a word.
Ferako,
I said, it is there that it will settle. Today, look at my hand.
Ibarahakai, barika hata.
Just today,
Eraros,
look at my hand.
Tuaka,
I can walk. I dropped my drugs at home. Since I came to convention, I've not taken them. And on daily basis, I go for road work.
They said you had pressure on your shoulder.
They tell me I've not gone out for morning sports. I am strong.
Mambra
capera
susa afra talis.
Apostle,
talk to me.
Mommy came here with a stiff neck.
Your neck was stiff.
Yes, sir. But while the prayer was ongoing, while the message was ongoing, she realized she could turn her neck.
You couldn't turn your neck before.
Yes.
My God.
I came in bone here conditions. With my neck stiff. I begged my sister, she's my witness, to please be massaging my back so that I can just move my. And immediately you prayed, I moved it by faith. And now I can turn my neck.
Can we save one more?
These two ladies, like our auntie here said, she fell by the staircase and she was helped to come. She was helped to come to this place, but she realized now that the pains are gone and she ran out by herself.
She fell from the staircase.
Yes, yesterday.
And so she had difficulty in walking.
And while praying was going on, I felt a sensation and I almost fell down. And then I tried to move my leg and I noticed it was moving freely and now I was able to jump.
Now, I saw many hands on the gallery, first and second gallery. What you would do is write the testimony, write it, place it on the altar so we can glorify God on account of what He has done for you. All right? We can't take all, but write it.
Apostle, let's hear this, sir. For 3 years, she's been having serious headache. In fact, that was one of the reasons why she came for the conference.
For 3 years?
Yes, sir. She said, while you were praying, she realized the headache came back more seriously. But she decided to observe and wait because she had already given the word. Right now, the headache is gone and she's feeling a lot better.
Is there anybody here that had an ear condition? Is there anybody here that had an ear condition?
Even
ear
eye.
Mama, you...
My left side.
What happened to your ear? Is it healed now? You had an ear condition. What happened?
Yeah, I had COVID twice. So since then, when I want to sing, I just... If I sing for a long time, I'll start having that severe pain.
But it's gone.
I'm not feeling it.
You had an ear condition. Are you healed?
Yesterday, I went to the room. I started to clean my ears with a cotton board. And while I was cleaning my ears, all of a sudden, I started hearing woo. And since then, even if I'm here, I told a lot of people here, for someone had to go and buy drugs for me. Because
what happened
was
now?
Like echoing. It was echoing.
Not what happened now?
As we were praying, I heard you mention ear. And so I began to say, I am healed. Beloved, my ears are free.
You had an ear condition too?
The same thing. Just my ear, I was like hearing woo, woo, woo. So after praying, I just get healed. Oh my God.
Is there anybody here that had a condition of paralysis? Something like a bone or muscles that couldn't function well on one side? You. Who's that? You? Mama, let me hear that. You too? Let me hear that. No, look at Mama here.
Yeah, it's 29 years.
No, they shouldn't come again.
Of stroke.
People shouldn't come again.
And the Lord has been healing me through
29 years.
Divine operation. Oh, I thought he had gone, but I knew that I could walk now. I was surprised yesterday. This healing started yesterday.
Yes.
When I was with one mommy there, I just told him, could you see my leg? Because my leg started stretching. It couldn't come down. I was trying to say, I told her, do you see what is happening to me? It was straight on my body. Because here it was dried for 29 years.
For 29 God, years, your left hand was dry.
Yes, but God delivered me through a divine operation.
Yes.
Because the doctor said there was nothing wrong with me.
Yes.
So, you know, I held God, you know. God kept giving me deliverance in my dream.
What but happened
today,
now?
Today, it's yesterday, it started yesterday. You know, when the word of God, when there was a word of God that went, so the thing just
somebody,
came,
God has touched somebody.
Me, just like this. Then today again, when you talk about
what no man can do, Jehovah, only you can do. What no man can do, Jehovah.
Wait a minute. What happened to Mama? You were using the stick.
Yes. Mama will see.
Only you can do.
Give me the stick, Mama. What happened to Mama? What happened to Mama?
Only you can do.
What no man can do, Jehovah.
Only you can do.
We're out of time. Mama, what happened?
Don't you hear me? I said my hand cannot. My legs cannot. But now.
Only you can do. What no man can do, Jehovah. Only you can do.
Only you.
What
only
no man can do, Jehovah.
Mama, you couldn't move your hand. Mama, say as you come.
I'm 88 years old.
You are 88 years old.
Yes. I cannot.
Mama is 88 years old. For how long were you not able to move your hand and leg?
I don't know.
You do. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout. Mama is 88 years old. She can't even remember since when she couldn't use her hands and legs. See what Jesus has done. You know what Mama told me? Hear this. She said, I will give you an American kiss. We can take the testimonies. Please write it down. Listen. Oh, write it down, and then we will, in Jesus' name. Now rise up, and lift your hands toward heaven. This is the hour. I beg you, be sensitive. The hand of God will come upon some persons here now. And impart the grace for relevance. Transgenerational relevance. Just lift your hands and ask the Lord, anoint me for this course. I want to make a difference. Just talk to him. Ask him.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
we are very numerous here. I don't want it to be violent, so people don't get injured. But the hand of God will come upon you like a weight of glory. And ushers, you will help me bring these people. I want to lay hands on them. I'm keeping it calm so that it won't be violent. The hand of God will come like a weight. And that weight is honor and authority coming on your life. From the left to the right, from the front to the back, to the galleries. First gallery, second gallery. Take that fire. Ushers, help now. Ushers, help now. Ushers, help now. Hallelujah. 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 Help me, please.
Receive that grace now. Kadosh, Kadosh,
Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Kadosh, Kadosh. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. It's the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne. He alone is worthy of our praise. Kadosh, Kadosh. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Kadosh, Kadosh. Kadosh, Kadosh. He's the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne. He alone is worthy of our praise. Kadosh, 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 Kadosh. He's the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne. He alone is worthy of our praise. He's the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne. He alone is worthy of the praise. Kadosh, 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 Kadosh. He's the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne. He alone is worthy of our peace. He's the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne. He alone is worthy of our peace.
This message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.edfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.